Chapter 36. That in the exercise of virtue we must continually advance with diligence. Amongst the things which are most important and necessary for the attainment of virtues, besides those already taught, this is to be borne in mind, that we must uninterruptedly press forward towards the end we have purposed, else, by only standing still, we turn back. For as soon as we leave off acts of virtue, it follows of necessity that, by the violent inclination of the sensual appetite and the actions of external objects, many unruly passions are raised in us which impair or destroy holiness. And, besides that, we lose many graces and gifts, which, if we had continued to press onward, we might have gained from the Lord. In this respect, the spiritual traveler is unlike the one who performs an earthly journey, for the latter may rest without losing the ground he has gained, while with the former this would be impossible. There is another difference, too, between them. The weariness of the earthly traveler increases with the continuance of the bodily exertion, while in the spiritual journey, the longer the traveler walks, the more strength and vigor he gains. For by the habit of virtue, the lower nature, which by its rebellion at first makes the way rough and toilsome, is gradually weakened, while the higher nature, in which virtue resides, gets more firm and more robust. Therefore, as we progress in holiness, the pain which we felt lessens, and a certain secret joy, which by the divine working had intermingled with it, increases more and more. In this way, by steadily going on from one virtue to another, we arrive at last at the summit of the mountain, where the perfected soul can work without weariness, nay, with pleasure and joyfulness. Because having now conquered and tamed its unruly passions, and having risen above all created things and above itself, it lives happily in the heart of the Most High, and there, sweetly laboring, finds its repose. Chapter 37. That as we must always continue in the exercise of the virtues, so we must not shun any opportunity which offers itself for their attainment. We have clearly seen that in the path of holiness we must ever press onward without stopping. Therefore we ought to be watchful and expectant, lest we slip in any opportunity which may present itself for the increase of a virtue. And those who draw back from such contrary things as might serve to that purpose make a great mistake. For if you desire to grow in the habit of patience, it is not well to keep away from the persons, deeds, or thoughts which try your patience. Therefore you have no need to give up any of your associations, because they are tiresome to you. But whilst you are dealing with and concerned with whatever brings you annoyance, keep your will disposed and ready to endure whatever vexation or unpleasantness may come to you, else you will never get the habit of patience. If any employment be irksome to you, either on its own account or because of the person who laid it on you, or if you dislike it because it hinders you from doing what you like better, still undertake it and complete it, whatever trouble it be to you, and though you might find comfort by not doing it. Because if you leave it, you would never learn to suffer, neither would true peace ever be your portion, as it does not spring except from a soul purified from passion and adorned with holiness. The same holds good of harassing thoughts, which at times molest and disturb the mind. You need not drive them entirely away, for together with the pain they cause you, they accustom you to bear contradictions. Whoever gives you different advice teaches you rather to shun the pain you feel than to gain the virtue which you desire. True indeed it is that a young soldier ought to maneuver and guard himself with watchfulness and dexterity on such occasions, now facing the enemy, now retiring as he gains more or less spiritual strength and power, yet he must never quite turn away and retreat so as to place himself far from all opportunity of contradiction. For though for the time he might save himself from falling, in the future he would run a greater risk, when exposed to the assaults of impatience, from not having armed and strengthened himself beforehand with the practice of the contrary virtue. This advice, however, must not be followed when sins of the flesh are concerned, of which we have before spoken more particularly.